So with that, I will turn the evening over to Brother Jamie.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'll just say on the outset that it always amazes me how when I don't pick hymns, they fit so perfectly with the message. It couldn't have been any better of wording. So, given this chapter, everything I've read on it is that this is words of encouragement to Timothy from Paul. But originally reading over it, I had a hard time seeing and finding the words of encouragement, so to speak. And then I had to realize that I didn't have a full understanding of the relationship between Paul and Timothy. And just to begin with a refresher of reading about where they first met. In Acts chapter 16, commencing at verse 1. Then when he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go on with him. And he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. And so the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. And when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So having met him, he realized that this is someone that he wanted to go on with him on his missionary journeys. And as we went through in 1 Timothy, the letter of 1 Timothy, it is full of instruction and guidelines in how to establish an ecclesia, how to run an ecclesia, and how to maintain an ecclesia. And this second letter being written between 2 and 5 years after, there seems to be a need to boost Timothy's mood. And again, going through, the only way I could realize or try to see more in depth of what the relationship between Paul and Timothy were was to look up all the cross-references in this chapter to find the more meaning and more of Paul's words, which obviously Timothy would have been aware of. Paul would have obviously taught Timothy what he did not know about the Old Testament, about the law of Moses and such. And as they traveled, unlike today, where we can be in a car with three other people and not have say a word because we all have our iPhones, our tablets, our earbuds, they walked. And having done so, they would have talked. But their relationship began with the truth, the word of God and the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a number of references I'm going to be looking at. You don't need to. I will give a list to anyone who does want them, but I'll just try to do this as quickly as I can. Titus chapter 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. This now sends us all the way back to Numbers. Yes, I'm realizing now I should have had stickers in here. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 to 20. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, or has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 12. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now in Romans, this continues on, Romans chapter 7 and verse 8. But sin, taking an opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manners of evil desire. For a part of the law was sin, or sorry, from a part of the law, sin was dead. Sorry, that was the wrong reference. I needed Romans 11. Thought it didn't sound good. Romans 11, verse 28. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of their fathers. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 8. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, now know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commands. Deuteronomy 10, 15 and 16. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all people, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. There's only a few more of these, I promise. Jeremiah 4 and verse 4. Or chapter 4, verse 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Back into Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 6. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Verse 13, furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed, they are a stiff-necked people. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers and to give to them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And then in verse 27, for I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, and you have been so rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death? All of this, Paul and Timothy would have discussed over their years together, knowing that it's more than just a promise of life. There's a history to all of that, that God cannot lie, that God promised this from the beginning of time. That it wasn't through their works. It wasn't through the children of Israel's works. It was through their father's works. It was through the love and the compassion that God had towards his people, even though they were stiff-necked people. If we go through this chapter, we continue to see that Timothy was beloved by Paul. And again, Paul tried to encourage him. But what I found really interesting was it wasn't the type of encouragement that we do for one another in this world. He wasn't puffing him up. He wasn't patting him on the back. He wasn't saying, you can do it, I believe in you. Everything that he did to encourage him was with God's words and with the responsibility. Because remember, their relationship began with the truth. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. If we look at with a pure conscience and as my forefathers did, we go over to Paul's words in Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. But I confess to you that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Acts chapter 26 and verse 22 and 23. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, and that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and he would proclaim the light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 28 and verse 24. Actually, I'll begin verse 23. And so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from the morning until the evening. And some were persuaded by these things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Not everyone was going to take to the truth. Not everyone who did would stay in the truth. These are things that he was referring to in his words, trying to encourage Timothy as he was trying to lead an ecclesia. In verse 5, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Twice in this verse, he refers to the faith that is in Timothy. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24. Grace be with you and to all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy 1, verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. And in the center margin, the translation for sincere there is unhypocritical. Do not be hypocritical. You must be sincere. And we moving on to verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He wanted him to remember that he was touched by the Holy Spirit, that he had a commandment that he was supposed to fulfill, a commandment that was greater than him, greater than Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14 to 16. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing so, you will save both yourself and those that hear you. For me, I got so much more out of those cross-references adding to than just stir up the gift of God which is in you. There was a responsibility, an earnesty. In verse 7, God has given us, the Spirit has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This brings us to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15. Verse 14 for context. Insomuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage. Subject to fear, the fear of death. The fear of what man can do. But we're supposed to be searching for the strength that the scriptures give unto us. Verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power. Now, when we think of someone who is a prisoner, we think of someone who no longer has free choice or free will. They are subject to their captor. They must rise when they're told to rise. They must eat when they're told to eat. They must sleep when they're told to sleep. But Paul was not taking this as a punishment, and he encouraged Timothy to join in that with him. If we look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. This then sends us to Psalms chapter 40. Verse 9 and 10. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation, and I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. He spoke openly. The references prove and show that there was no fear of repercussion. There was no fear of the imprisonment in which he was experiencing. Moving on to verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Again, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This then goes to Romans for a little more clarification. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 8 and 28. For we know all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Again, it is not for our glory. It was not for their glory, not for their boasting. It was bigger than them. It's bigger than you and I. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's look at verse 11. Verse 11, to which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Again, this is now over into Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. There was no secret that they were told, we are told, that we will suffer. People will turn on us. People will throw us under the bus. They'll try to punish us. They'll try to discredit us. Verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 verses 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end be to those who do not obey the gospel of God? He's giving him instruction to be pure, to be faithful, the sincerity of his faith. Do not be guilty of worldly things. Because if you are suffering because you are truly guilty of doing what is wrong in God's eyes, there is no glory. There is no pride. There is no salvation. But be honest and pure. And do not fear punishment of men, but only fear the punishment of God. Verse 13, hold fast a pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, Titus. Hold fast the faithful word as it has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. To be faithful to exhort, but also to confront those that go against the word of God. Romans 2, verse 20. Beginning in verse 18. And know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind and a light to those who are in darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. And in Romans 6 and verse 17. But God be thankful that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was well delivered to you. And having been set free from your sin, you became slaves of righteousness. One more on that in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, and evil suspicions. A few times in this letter, he refers to not paying attention to the babblings of men and the rumors. Again, words of encouragement when the full picture is being drawn out. And then here, in the end of this chapter, is a very interesting, two very interesting accounts. Verse 15, this you know, that all those in Asia, remember, they were told by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, not to preach in Asia, have turned away from me, among whom are Phalagrus and Hermogenes. Now the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Yes, I said that differently than Matthew. I'm sure he is more correct. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously, and he found me. And the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways that he ministered to me in Ephesus. Now, Timothy would have been very well versed in the goings-on when they were preaching and going towards Asia. He would have known these men. He would have known Onesiphorus as well. And this, again, we're not told the full story, but he would have known simply because of the reference. Look at 2 Timothy 4:19. This is an interesting reference. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. So on both counts, where Onesiphorus is mentioned, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus and greet the household. It can be taken, and I am not dogmatic on this, but it could and has been understood that this man might have already been dead at this point. We don't know how, we don't know why, but just the inference to his household as opposed to him directly. He was a man who did great works and was very helpful towards Paul. And when this reference that when he was in Rome and he arrived in Rome, he seeked him out very zealously and he found him. Well, this is during the time that Nero was persecuting the Christians. That's why Paul was in prison. He very well may have suffered because of this action. Again, it's just a thought, no dogmaticness here. But he did minister unto him. He did give him comfort. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2. Or sorry, 1, verse 2. Second Thessalonians 1, verse 10. And when he comes in that day to be glorified with his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. In Romans chapter 15, verse 25. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. The reference for minister in this situation and in the others is to serve. I'm going to serve them. One last reference, I promise. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. This is how Paul was classifying himself to Timothy. He humbled himself, one of the least of these, giving the credit to Onesiphorus for ministering unto him and comforting him. He was reminding Timothy to be bold, to be strong, not to be confident in a worldly way, but to be confident in the word of God, to be sure-footed, to continue on. In all of these examples, to minister unto the people, not only and to stay true to the faith, not only for his own life, but for those that he would be around and he would teach. He was reminded that people will turn on him. People will fear for their own lives and hand over his name. They will take and turn on Paul, saying that Paul is no good because he's nothing but a criminal, being imprisoned not once but twice, forgetting that he was only there because of his strong faith in the word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, brothers and sisters, I know that there was a lot of references, but this is how I was only able to understand what I feel the true message was. A man who met a young man, took him under his wing, treated him like a true son in the faith. Their relationship, not corrupted by anything in the world, always about the truth, always about the work of God, always about establishing the ecclesia, strengthening the ecclesia, how to be a leader, how to be a guide, and yes, also how to rebuke and how to chastise. Because if we listen, as he warns in other chapters, if we listen to those who try to corrupt and try to twist and are concerned with the babblings, well, here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, I know I said it was the last reference, but it was right here open. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen.